Blog Talk Radio.
Foundation is built on a rock. Inside here, unbreakable, unbending, unyielding, immeasurable, immovable, invincible.
Hey, this is Coach from Survivor 18, 20, and 23. You're listening to Dragon Slayer Radio here on the Rad Reality Show. Join us every Thursday as we dissect Survivor One World episode by episode. You can call us at Blog Talk Radio at 347-237-5506 and let's play this thing together.
Hello, everyone. It's the Rad Reality Show, and And we're going to get started in a second. What a night. What a night. I am so excited about this show. A great Survivor show. Coach Wade's going to be joining us tonight.
It's Thursday, so you know what day it is. It's Survivor. But let's kick it off with our theme song for usually Thursday night, especially during Survivor's time of the year. And you know what it is.
It all comes down to this.
Welcome to the show, everyone. Tonight we're going to be talking about Survivor. If you guys have a question on Survivor, you guys can call in 347-237-5506. Let's have a great show, guys.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for joining us tonight here on Dragon Slayer Radio. Tonight is April 26, 2012. So if this happens to be your birthday, happy birthday out there. My name is Cherry Garcia, and I'll be your co-host tonight, along with my friend Paul from Minnesota. The host of the show, Coach Wade, will be here in just a little while. So while we wait for him, Paul and I will do our best to entertain you. How are you doing tonight, Paul?
Let me entertain you. No, I'm doing very well. This is a kind of a regular thing. Coach has on some nights some prior commitments. What's he, soccer?
This is his symphony.
The symphony. And
yeah.
And so he occasionally, maybe once every few weeks, will join us later than at the top of the hour. But I'm doing well. When you say if it's your birthday today, I'm always sitting here thinking, okay, she's going to say whose birthday it is today, but you didn't find anybody worth mentioning it.
Not really.
I'm doing fantastic. How are you tonight?
I'm great. I have my first hummingbirds. I'm so excited. I got to actually put my hummingbird feeders out and get my first hummingbirds coming onto my deck, and so I'm excited. I couldn't wait. Night Owl's in the chat room, so she can hear me. Yeah, I couldn't wait to tell her.
Yes, you might share with people. You've had, how many years now, you've had bird feeders up, and one especially for hummingbirds, and of all the birds, those are the ones you talk to me about the most. How many years have you had that hummingbird feeder?
I guess it's been about 4 or 5 years now I've been doing this, and I absolutely love it. It's something that I didn't think I would ever enjoy. I was not a big bird person. Didn't really think I'd ever enjoy it like this, but the hummingbirds are just so much fun to watch. And when we moved in this house, now we have this big deck with big trees on either side, and putting the feeders out there and watching the hummingbirds come in and feed off these feeders is just so much fun. They're so protective of, you know, their feeders, and you know, they'll run off other members of other families if they don't belong to their clan. They're puff themselves out and try to make themselves look really big when they're so tiny, and run other, you know, hummers off, and they'll sit there and guard their feeders, and it's just great to watch them. It was so funny, and I've really enjoyed it more than I thought I would. So I've been doing it for about 4 or 5 years now, probably, and they always come back to where they find, you know, they feed at, and every year. And my husband was sitting here the other day, and he said, I could have sworn I just saw a hummingbird. And I thought, nah, not this early. And then yesterday he was like, babe, I just saw a hummingbird right outside the window. I am 100% sure now I did see a hummingbird. You need to get your feeders out. So last night I hurried up and got all my feeders out and made the nectar, and went out last night actually and bought a few new feeders and got them out. And this morning I actually saw one for myself. And
now, can you tell, is it like one family? Is it or do they share, or is it just one male that, you know, and female that come down? Or
I have a big deck, and I put some on each end, and there's trees on either side of the, you know, my deck. So I have like one family on one end of the deck and another family on the other end of the deck, and they sort of don't mess with each other. But if other hummingbirds try to come in and feed off of their feeders, they will, I don't know how to explain it, but they will actually, like, dive bomb them. And they do. They chase them off. And especially when they have babies, they really don't like other hummers coming in and, you know, feeding off their feeders. They get really protective, and it's just something so much fun to watch, how they protect their feeders, and they protect their babies, and they just really get to where they hover over their ground. And where I'm at up here, my deck is up off the second floor, and there isn't any, like, stairs that go up to it, and the trees are big trees that are right off the sides of the deck, so they can come in out of the trees onto my deck that's the covered deck, and they can hit those feeders and get juice and go right back to their nest, and they don't even get wet when it's raining. So they love it up here that they can, you know, get their food and go right back to their nest when it's raining and not get wet. So they have a little haven up here, and I guess that's why they come back every year. They know that they can come here and get fed and have a nice little dry haven up here with feeders under a covered deck. And I have a feeding all season long, and they have it made up here. So I guess that's why my hummers love to come back to me. But it's been a real fun thing to do, and I've enjoyed it. My husband doesn't like me feeding the winter birds as much because it's a big mess. But I fed the cardinals one year when we had really, really sub-zero temperatures and there was ice everywhere, and I felt so bad for the winter birds, and everything was iced over, and I thought, you know, how are they going to get their food? So I threw some sunflower seeds out, and the next thing I knew, there was like 20 cardinals on my deck, and it was so pretty. And so what did I do? I started feeding the cardinals, and now I've started feeding the cardinals every winter. So I've wound up now being not only a hummingbird feeder during the spring and summer, but I also got into feeding the winter birds, the cardinals, during the winter. So never ever in my life did I ever think I would be a bird feeder, but here I am feeding birds all year round. And it's been kind of fun. But it's really pretty when you look out and you have, you know, 15, 20 cardinals sitting on your deck in the middle of winter when everything else is gray and dark and ugly and everything is barren. You've got 20 beautiful cardinals sitting on your deck. It's just great. So I don't put feeders out per se. I put all my food on the railings. So, you know, they just sit on the railings and eat. And the only thing I found bad about that is that the squirrels and the raccoons also come to join us on the deck. And that doesn't make my husband very happy.
Hey, Jerry, here I am. I'm back with you. I hate leaving you alone because I've been there before. And
I've just been rattling away about my birds.
A subject that you have no problem talking about. We had a couple of people on the switchboards whose numbers I wasn't familiar with, and so what I was doing was leaving the on-air and talking with them off the air. So at any rate, again, for those that are just joining us, this is a night where Coach has prior commitments and joins us sometimes about quarter after the hour, so it should be he should be joining us not too long from now. But did you ever get to go back and watch all of Best Inc. from the other night?
I have not watched the entire show. I did watch most of it. I have not rewatched it. I was sort of watching it while I was doing other things and did see Lydia on there and saw how gorgeous she was and how beautiful her tattoo was.
Yes,
but I want to rewatch it so I can watch it from beginning to end without interruption.
For those that aren't Big Brother fans, so we're talking about Lydia Tavera from BB11, and she was recently featured on the Oxygen TV show Best Inc. on the last episode. It's a reality show tattoo competition amongst tattoo artists, and she received a tattoo on the show, and a lot of us here are fans of Lydia and also of Big Brother, so that's what we're talking about. The other thing is I'm so looking forward to what happens Sunday night on The Amazing Race, because Rachel Riley is in the commercial, and it sounds like one of the challenges or tasks or something might involve shaving her head, and
I am so
worried about that.
I know. I've seen that commercial, and I cannot believe that of all people, Rachel is one of the people that came up on that challenge. I feel so bad for her because, you know, Rachel is one that is in front of the cameras, not just on, you know, Big Brother or The Amazing Race. She does a lot of camera work, you know, or on camera work for her regular job. And so I just can't imagine what she's going to do. It's going to be interesting to see what next show brings us.
I wonder how many people are big NFL fans and are watching. You, I know you're not, but tonight is the big NFL draft that goes for hours and hours and hours. So I'm just to let you know there's a big sporting, if you will, event going on right now.
Really? I had no idea.
I didn't think you would. Anyway,
so is that something that
anybody,
most guys that watch religiously?
Yeah,
is that
people
something that
are hardcore NFL fans and have their team, they're always wanting to find out, you know, who they draft, and it's amazing. This goes on for, you know, tonight for several hours for, you know, first couple of rounds, and then it goes on for a second and third. I mean, they really televise the hell out of it.
Okay, well, I think we have the host of our show coming on, so let's do this.
Hey, this is Coach from Survivor 18, 20, and 23. You're listening to Dragon Slayer Radio here on the Rad Reality Show. Join us every Thursday as we dissect Survivor One World episode by episode. You can call us at Blog Talk Radio at 347-237-5506 and let's play this thing together.
Welcome, Coach Wade.
Welcome to Dragon Slayer Radio. How are you guys doing?
Great. How are you?
Fantastic. Hope everybody's having a good evening out there. Yes, Paul, the NFL draft is totally alive and going. I had no idea. I don't stay current with the NFL draft, although I did get a Philadelphia Eagles signed football helmet in the mail today for my brother.
Ooh.
Actually, I hope he's not listening because that is a Christmas present. But anyway, so I do follow football a little bit, but not crazy enough to go and watch the NFL draft. I figure once they start playing, I'm going to do it.
Let me ask you this, Coach. I know you've moved around in the country. Do you have your NFL team or a couple of them? What are they?
Well, my brother really likes the Philadelphia Eagles. I always liked the Raiders. And, you know, especially when they were in Oakland, they moved to L.A., not so much, then they move back up to Oakland. So that's probably if there's going to be a team that I follow, it's that team.
Hey, Coach, I'm going to ask you this. I put together a clip, and you don't know anything about it, but I saw your tweet, and I watched the YouTube video, and I was so impressed. I really loved your symphony, the Latin symphony, and I edited down to a minute 48, a little bit of the beginning, the middle, and the end. And I didn't clear it with you, and I don't know if you even want to play it, but I was really impressed with that. That was very nice. When did you?
I like it when you surprise me. You're right. I have no idea about it. Let me just quickly prep the listener out there. We had a symphony concert this last Friday, Sunday. It was Musica de España, so music that was kind of like influenced by Spain. And I thought to myself, well, why don't I write a piece for this? And so I ended up writing the second symphony I've written, probably the 51st classical composition, but it's called the Latin Symphony, and we played the first movement of that. It features classical guitar and all kinds of other stuff. It was posted on YouTube. Paul, being the savvy host that he is, went and obviously edited it down, and I would love for you to play that clip.
All right. I hope you like what I edited, because I'm thinking this is your baby, and you've probably got a lot of favorite parts, and I'm going to eliminate some of your baby, and it just, I hope you enjoy it, but it gives people a good idea of what it is, and here we go.
Thank you.
was good. I mine was a little bit distorted because I think I'm, you know, I'm listening through the phone, and so mine was a little bit distorted. But that you captured it. I think you captured the essence, especially that wailing trumpet player there near the end.
All right, I've got a couple questions. I know we talked Survivor, but I just got into that music so much. Who give props out to your guitarist? Who was that?
That was Tom Braun.
He was really good. And then the other question I have, I know you, I'm sure you probably play other instruments, but you're known for, you know, playing the trumpet. I would be in that orchestra and I would say, my God, I'm, you know, he's so damn good, and I'm playing, there's a lot of trumpet in that composition.
Well, you know, being a trumpet player myself, I like writing for the trumpet. I like writing for strings, flute, bassoon, oboe. I really like writing for viola, and so I'll write for these instruments. I don't write that much for the trumpet, although I like writing for it. But this piece, you know, it was Latin, and of course, the piece is 10 minutes long, and so Paul had put clips of the various themes in there. But as the piece gets cranking near the end, you know, I use a lot of trumpet just because it's Latin, salsa type, a little bit of tango thrown in there. And so I really wanted to bring out that trumpet. And so that was Paul Lenz. He's my principal trumpet player, and he was up there screaming at the end.
Yeah, that was fantastic. I didn't include the applause at the end, but it was, you know, because time constraints, but everybody seemed to really enjoy it.
Good, yeah, it was good. It was good, for sure. So anyway, I appreciate you playing that. Let's talk about this week's Survivor, shall we?
Let's do.
Let me ask you this.
I'm sorry to interrupt, Coach, but just for my planning purposes, we do have a guest, I understand, calling in. Do you know when she will call in and what area code I should look for?
You should look for a San Antonio area code.
Okay.
And she should be calling in any minute now. I will kind of prep the audience for her a little bit. She has not called in yet. Is that correct?
No.
That is correct, and I'm just thinking Latin music that we just played, and she's Latin, so.
Yep, that's true. It really fits, doesn't it? So let's get into this last week's episode, and then we'll have her come on, and she'll give us a little bit of spice for the episode as well. So
sounds great.
Let's talk about it. What do you think about this week's episode, Paul?
All right. I'm sorry. There's a lot of good strategy and wondering what was going to happen, but sorry, I'm laughing. The highlight for me was the immunity challenge. I'm a guy that likes to see women get all oiled up, I guess. I'm sorry. No, I enjoyed the episode. It's getting better. You're starting to wonder if somebody's going to flip. Which one of the girls is going to flip? I'm also a little disappointed in Christina. She really did come across as not a very smart Survivor player. So those were kind of the two things that popped out in my head.
These people are ridiculous. I mean,
yeah.
Really? Like, how many times? I can't wait. I really hope that the final three is like, I know it's not going to be, but I would love it if the final three was going to be Tarzan and, let's see, Tarzan. No, actually, you know what? I take that back. I hope the final three is Sabrina, Chelsea, and Kim, and all those other morons like Christina and Alicia and Tarzan. Heck, a lot of the morons are already sitting on the jury with Leaf and Jay and those people. It's like, can't you see it coming? You're on the bottom, and yet you refuse to make a move. I mean, I really can't believe that Christina and Alicia and even Kat, Tarzan, I mean, Tarzan's playing the not-me strategy, which really for him at the moment, time's going to run out next week. I don't care what the editors show us for next week. But, you know, I just can't believe that these people don't know that they're on the bottom.
I know. It seems like, and Tarzan has been telling them for weeks now that they are on the bottom, and they still can't seem to grasp it, even though they're being told.
Yeah, I've had a love-hate relationship with Tarzan in the beginning. You know, definitely liked him. Then he started becoming really arrogant. This is my island stuff. And then, you know, but I got to say that I love the fact that he stood up during the challenge with his back. I mean, it's horrible gamesmanship. It's horrible sportsmanship. It's the worst thing that you should do if you're going to be fighting for your life out there. But for Tarzan to, like, not watch the immunity challenge and for him to give solid strategy. I mean, he did everything that he could as long as he could. But, you know, we knew his time was going to run out. I'm just surprised that Kat and Christina did not listen to him talking about their eventual demise. And I got to give props to Tarzan because he really was like, he called him out and just said, hey, you know, I'm giving you the opportunity. I'm telling you in tribal, and he puts his hand on their shoulders last week, and I'm telling you in tribal, and it's like he lays the plan out to them, but they just couldn't grasp it.
Kat, Sabrina, and Christina should have, if they were smart, listened to what he was saying and realized that what he said has some validity to it and done some soul searching and flipped with him last week. They didn't, and they should have then this week done some maneuvering and flipped, and they didn't again. Now, next week we see that, you know, it's going to be a cat fight between who's going first between the women. Is it going to be Kat or Sabrina?
Yep.
And now it's going to be, you know, the women just tearing each other apart.
You know, I can understand holding off before you make a move, a flip move, but there's such a thing as waiting too long, and I think they're waiting too long. I hope at some point we address the reward challenge because there is so much psychological play going on, and I have no idea if I was in the game how I would have approached that. But holy cow, the questions and picking who you take with you is so mind-blowing for some of these people. Mind-blowing wasn't right, but, you know, playing games with your mind.
I wrote down every question from the reward challenge.
My favorite question was, who's the biggest poser? I have a question like that kind of on my sheet, that I hate that game. It really is meant to just destroy and erode, you know, the fabric of your alliance. And, you know, because you can't make anybody happy. Nobody out there has a three-person alliance. And so when you go on these reward challenges and you have to select people, there's no way that you can make anything happy. You know, I really like Kim. You know, I like Chelsea to win the game if they're in the finals because Chelsea's been a little bit softer. She's been a little bit more subtle. She's been a little bit more honorable. But, I mean, Kim, I really like her. And she's like, you know, really she says, I would rather have been chosen than to win. And Kat was just sitting there, you know, I mean, Kat was just sitting there slow-eyed, doe-eyed, and she drives me crazy. But anyway, yeah, those challenges and, the people that you pick on the rewards, it's all meant to really disrupt your everyday life out there. So, Paul, I would love for you to dissect. I would like for you to dissect it, but I want you to dissect it with our special guest because she is on the line right now. She is on hold, and I would like to introduce her, so hold on. I had the opportunity to meet Rita about a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago. We have had a fantastic relationship. She's one of the sweetest Survivor contestants that I have ever met. She is just a gem of a person. She does all kinds of stuff on Telemundo. She's much more famous than the Dragon Slayer can ever hope to be. Rita, are you on the line?
Ay, amigo, yes, my goodness.
Thank you for joining us, Rita.
Introduction. Thank you, amigo. I really appreciate what you just said, and I am nowhere near as famous as the Dragon Slayer. Are you kidding?
No, you are. You're more famous.
I paid him to say that.
So Rita, why don't you give the listener just a little bit of a background on just yourself and the season that you were on and what's kind of happened since then?
Well, thank you. First of all, thank you for having me on. I'm really honored and really grateful to you. Thank you, Coach, for saying I'm one of the sweetest that you've met, sweetest contestants and friends that you have. I appreciate that. I have my season, first of all, Survivor Fiji, which I think was one of the hardest ones, but I guess we all feel that about the season we were on. But as you saw it, you saw that we really started off with a really unfair situation. And I just had to take it from there. And on top of that, I felt like we had such bad luck that we just could not, Ravu, by we, I mean my tribe, that we couldn't come out from under. But, you know, my strategy out there was always to be as respectful as I could. And yes, you know, I stay true to myself, and I really have very high values, and my integrity is worth more than any money in the world, and my children's integrity, and I did that and see how far I could make it and how far I could go. But as Coach just mentioned, I really had kind of a long-term strategy, which was how far can I go with this once I'm off the island? And I've been really, really, really blessed. And in fact, I got such a huge compliment from Coach, who asked me not too long ago when he was seeing some of my accomplishments, asking me who my agent was, because he saw all the wonderful things. In a nutshell, I went on to go on a nationwide network, which reaches over 90 million viewers, which is the Home Shopping Network. I was on there for about a year as one of the guest hosts on there. I hosted my own television show in Telemundo, did some TV show work here in like the Good Morning America of San Antonio. And recently, and now I'm really excited about this, I just signed a contract last year with Fox Cable for a new U.S. network, a Latin network called Utilísima. So I have some really fun shows that air on there right now. You can catch them nationwide on DirecTV. So it really, for me, I felt like Survivor helped me thrive with my career. So that's more or less on a career front what I did with it. But I really did find a calling to use it, because it's been the gift that keeps on giving to me. I feel like without a doubt, I'm going to use it as a gift to keep giving gift to others. So I'm really thrilled that now I've been given this other way of helping others by doing one of the other things that I love to do, which is just communicate and on a microphone. So I MC a ton of events for so many different wonderful, wonderful charities. The one that's nearest and dearest to my heart is Breast Cancer Foundations. And I did something locally not too long ago. We were able to raise about $30,000 for that through an event that I MC for a foundation called the Healing Hearts Gala. And then, of course, I was just a part of the Reality Rally, which was also for a breast cancer foundation. And and I guess lastly, Coach, I'm kind of doing what you're doing. I also have a radio host, an internet radio show that I'm co-hosting called It's Time for R&R, that you can catch also through the internet on inspirationforlife.org.
And what's that about?
We try to highlight heroes in our community, and through me, I'm bringing in. And by the way, Coach, I'm announcing this live. Coach, you're going to be, I'm going to extend an invitation. I hope you'll accept to now return the invite to be a guest on my radio show. We try to highlight heroes. Thank you. Muchas gracias. We try to highlight heroes in the community, and I try to, within our Survivor family, also bring in people like yourself that I feel are doing wonderful things out there, so that I can share that with all the listeners that we have, not just in San Antonio, but also throughout the United States. So that's what our show is, really community faith-based, to highlight people that are doing good things for others.
Fantastic, fantastic. So, Rita Barreros, where are you from originally? Please tell everybody.
I'm a mutt. I was born in Venezuela, in Caracas, Venezuela, but my father's from Greece, and my mother's from Panama.
So here's one thing that the audience, you know, you probably should get online and Google Rita, because this is what I've found. Okay, no, really, you should be Google image. I'm going to embarrass you now. I want you to Google image Rita, because because here's the thing, right? Like, Coach goes out on Survivor when he was 38, and man, I gotta tell the listener. No, hold on. I'm just being real, okay? I first went out there the first time, and I did not look 38. But I gotta tell you, after three Survivors, I'm 40 now. I look 50. I have like all these gray hairs coming up, and so Survivor really beats you up, and it really takes a toll on you. You know, I've been out there almost 100 days total in the last 3 years, and it has torn me up. So I want to know what the secret. If the listener is Googling Rita, you'll see that she's totally hot, and they'll see that she's like, I don't understand, because Survivor did not seem to touch you at all. In fact, your beauty has continued to increase as years go by. I mean, I'm not going to tell your age. When you Google it, you can see her age, obviously, but what's the deal with that? How come Survivor didn't affect you like it affected me?
Oh, my goodness. You have now really confirmed that I paid Coach before this interview. Oh, my goodness. Muchísimas gracias. You know what? I'm going to give all the props, I mean all of the props, to Jim and Raquel, which are my parents. I'm going to just say it's all that Greek, Panamanian, Venezuelan, I guess. I got some really, really blessed genes. I'm so humbled. Thank you for saying that. My goodness. Thank you for those compliments. I'm always really sincerely shocked and grateful and surprised anytime I receive compliments like that, because I remember seeing myself as an ugly duckling through high school. And so I still feel like, God and I are playing kind of a joke on people every time they come up to me and say something about my beauty. I'm like, ooh, look at that. They still haven't noticed that I'm the ugly duckling. So thank you. Thank you so much.
Well, it's not Rita. This is Paul from Minnesota. I'm one of the co-hosts of the Rad Reality Show, along with Cherry Garcia. Say hey, Cherry.
Hi, Rita.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Hi, Paul. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
I have to join in Coach's opinion. You are one of the most beautiful women in reality TV and elsewhere.
Oh, my goodness, Paul. Thank you so much.
A bunch of us did watch the Superpass feeds from Reality Rally and thoroughly enjoyed you teaching Spicy how to...
Reality Nation Runway Walk.
Chelsea is standing in the background, and she's the one that urged you to do it, and that was so funny. I have to get this in real quick, too. Do you watch Celebrity Apprentice and the two Venezuelans that were on it?
I absolutely do, and they're actually my friends. They are.
Really?
Diana. I'm also a former Miss Venezuela contestant.
Rita,
and
you're so big time. I just want to say, Rita, you're so big time. This is crazy.
No. Coach, be quiet. So Diana and I are fellow. We are fellow Miss Venezuelas.
I love Diana. You must pronounce her name for us again, because they don't pronounce it correctly, do they?
Diana Mendoza.
Yes, I like that.
Diana Mendoza, and the other girl is also, actually the three of us, what am I saying, Patricia Velasquez, Diana Mendoza, and myself, our three of us are former Miss Venezuela contestants.
I am actually a Patricia, too.
And Patricia is amazing. Patricia has a story, so I have a little time, 3 minutes to tell you that she is our very first and only, like, supermodel from Venezuela. And her story is one of those things. I love to tell her story because I really believe in everything happens for a reason, and what's meant for you, no one can take away from you. Because Patricia, what happened with her is her friend, her best girlfriend, went to a model call for modeling, I think, Elite or John Casablancas in New York at the time. And as she was leaving the audition, a picture, a Polaroid photograph of Patricia fell out of this girl's portfolio. And they see this Polaroid of Patricia, who, if you've seen her, I mean, she's stunning. She's from the Tarahumara Indians in Venezuela, which Coach is probably familiar with. And Patricia's picture came out, and they asked her, who's that? And the girl said, oh, that's my best friend. You know, I put that picture in there because she wanted to wish me luck, and she couldn't come along on the trip, and this was my way of bringing her along with me. And they were like, we want to see her. We want to see her, and the rest is history. They you know, flew her to New York and signed her with the John Casablancas agency. And again, if you Google, don't Google me, Google Patricia, and you'll see that's big time right there. She's huge, our very first top supermodel from Venezuela.
Wow.
And Diana's doing amazing on The Apprentice. She's extremely, very, very smart girl. It's definitely not just looks with her. She may be universe, but she's got a universe in her brain, too. Very, very smart girl.
She is a smart
girl. So I'm proud. I'm clearly proud of my fellow Venezolanas.
Absolutely. I don't blame you a bit. They're both beautiful women.
Thank you, Terry. Thank you very much.
I'm really pulling for Diana. She got a bad rap in the beginning, but she's holding her own, and she's doing great.
She did. She's holding her own, and like I said, she's a tough cookie. She's smarter than, you know, it's not all looks. They're not just beauty. We're not just beauty queens.
Absolutely not. She's doing well, and she's showing them that, you know, they had it all wrong in the beginning.
Yes,
sorry,
they did.
Sorry, Coach, I'm sorry that we took a different turn and started talking about another show, but...
Coach, I do have a couple of questions. We have someone in the chat room that has asked me to ask you a couple of questions. He is actually from Brazil, and he wanted me to ask you, first of all, his first question is, who do you think played the game most closely to you on your last season? And his second question, he wants to know, what you liked most about Brazil when you were there?
Those
are good questions. Can I say, I'm going to interrupt just to say no one played Survivor like Coach, in my opinion. I'm just going to say that.
Rita, thank you. I was going to say the same thing, just because, you know, there's nobody out there that's being telephoned. I don't know. I guess I've God made me a very complex person, and so we talked about this last week when I told everybody, you know, what the Survivor producers liked about me is that if they wanted something silly, they could get it. If they wanted something serious, if they wanted something philosophical, if they wanted something spiritual, if they wanted, you know, a hardcore competitor, if they wanted somebody that was sensitive, they could really get all of those sides out of me. So, you know, is anybody, you know, really spiritual? No. Is anybody really... I mean, I guess Chelsea's trying to play honorably. You know, Tarzan is—he thinks he's intelligent by using bigger words, but you know, his kind of shtick—he's just one-sided, and so he's kind of boring. So I'll have to take what Rita said. I don't think anybody's really playing like me this time. And then, as far as what did I like about Brazil? I mean, I've been down there many times, kayaked down the Amazon. What I liked about Tocantins is that it was one of the most spiritual places I've been to on Earth. And what I really liked about it is that you had the high savanna that met the river delta, that met the desert, that met the swamp, that met the deciduous forest with all kinds of poisonous snakes and plants in that region. But with all those ecosystems meeting each other, it was just dynamite, and I really loved it. I mean, there's nothing like your first time. And, being out there that first time, everything was new and fresh, and I was just one with the creator of the universe, and it was just a really beautiful experience for me outside of the game itself. So that's the answer to those questions.
Oh, well, thank you very much, Coach. I'm sure he appreciates that very much.
Absolutely. And, you know, I mean, people are on the front line all over the world, and I just want to give my hats off to people that are out there. You know, you talk about being out in the bush and just being in a different country, whether you're a missionary or working for the, you know, Peace Corps and everything. I did want to give a shout-out tonight to Dustin Dills. He's doing missionary work in Serbia. And so I just wanted to say thank you for that and all the people that are out there doing missionary work, spreading the gospel. Anyway, that's a side note. Let's get back to this week's episode, and really just in general, Rita, because you're here, I'd love to know your thoughts, you know, pretty quickly, starting with the female versus male, if you would have been, you know, if you would have pushed for an all-female alliance, and just kind of how you've seen everything transcribe so far this year.
Well, you know, I, just from my experience on my season, I tried to push for an all-female alliance, and it lasted all of 3 minutes. And so I realized quickly that it is a man's world, and it was a man's world, in my opinion, at least on my season on Survivor. I feel like to a certain point on this season, they've been able to make the all-female alliance work, but I'm just afraid that when push comes to shove, I hate to say it, women are just, you know, they go into that catty, jealous, insecure mode, and I see it surrounded because, of course, I work in the beauty pageant industry, and I just see that come out in times when you're supposed to turn that off right at that moment when you should be sticking together. So I'm afraid that that's what might happen when push comes to shove, and then that female alliance and that strength that they're having up till now is going to fall apart. I have to give a shout out, because for the first time since me, I want to give a quick shout out to my girl Kim, because since the first time since I was blessed to get that opportunity out there, we have someone from San Antonio out there, and that's Kim. So uh-huh. I think Kimberly is playing a very smart game.
Rita, I have to ask you, how nervous were you last week when she didn't play her immunity? I was getting nervous.
Well, you know, the thing is, I wasn't nervous. I just, because I really didn't get a sense that they were really pointing too many fingers, just a few fingers at her. I did get a little nervous when in fact you saw her name getting written down. But again, I think she's playing a really smart game. She's really measuring when to go near enough to the radar, and then when to back away from it, who to listen to, when to speak, when not to speak. So I really wasn't worried about her.
She really is playing a good game, I have to say.
Yeah.
She really is playing a
very smart
game. Yes.
I think that, you know, again, measuring how close to stay to that radar and how far away when you need to. So I wasn't worried about her because I knew she wasn't a target really last week. And in fact, it kind of reminded me that the things that they were saying and using against it, and you could tell by the excuses. I don't know if you guys remember, but I remember they were like absolutely void excuses for voting her off. And you're sitting there like, that's not even an excuse to get rid of her. So I knew that was just going to be kind of like a blah point with her. And thankfully, she hung on there, and nothing happened. But you know what does bug me? I don't know, Coach, if you feel the same way, but do you watch it, especially like the tribal council? Don't you watch it and wonder, like, did y'all watch Survivor at all before? And like, do you know what I'm saying? Or even, and you that admire the show, and sitting there like, really? Are you really saying that stuff?
This year more than ever before.
Like, shut your mouth.
I know.
You're about to get your butt voted off, like, you know, because Coach knows this. I mean, people can at camp have made a decision and been just, you know, this is it. This is it. This is how it's going to go down. No ifs, ands, or buts. This is what's going to go down. And then you get sat down there and Jeff starts with his brilliant nitpicking and, you know, getting at this and that, and then stuff starts coming out. And that's why I'm amazed when those people start just talking all this crazy stuff, and you're like, oh my gosh, you're about to get yourself voted off again here last minute.
Yeah.
When it wasn't you, when you left camp, you weren't the target.
Because of the line of questions,
you're the target now.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, this has been watching it, you know, going out there and playing, it gives you an advantage when you watch it to say, wow, these people are definite rookies. Going out, you know, 2 and 3 times really makes you think that. But this group of people must be the most illiterate survivor contestants that I've ever seen. No, who has ever throwing a challenge is bad enough, but asking the guys to go to tribal council just to send some guy home that is funny and maybe annoying is
never
unbelievable.
Never in history have we seen anybody give up.
No, these people are unbelievable. Anyway, listen, I want to kind of move along because we got 8 minutes left. So let me ask you quickly, Rita Colton, quickly give me your viewpoint on him.
Colton? I think he was tremendously insensitive, and I think he just went to an extreme, in my opinion, just to get attention. And at the expense of too many people. And in my book, it's not acceptable. The way he behaved out there to me is definitely, that's just not my essence or my style at all. I think he was just trying to get attention and be funny at the expense of other people and other people's feelings. And, you know, I hate to say it, but karma came right back instantly.
Right.
That karma,
in my opinion, what happened to him was, you know, was karma, in my opinion.
Yep.
Because he was just going overboard just to get attention.
Right. What about Troy Zenn?
Troy Zenn, you know, I'm having trouble yet. I feel like I need to meet him to get a better assessment about that. I want to say that part of that is also him just doing it to be dramatic. I want to still kind of give him the benefit of the doubt because, you know, I was really impressed when Tarzan went and advised him to be more humble when he won immunity or he won the challenges. I was very impressed at that advice that he gave him, and then disappointed when Troy Zan was like, well, no, I don't really care. I don't agree with you. But I wonder how much of that is really, again, it's really sincere. And you never know. It's hard to judge because I know that, and you too, Coach, both of us got judged. And no one can really know what you're going through and why and how you're even going to react to the things that happen to you out there. So with Troy Zan, I'm a little on the fence. I still am going to give him the benefit of the doubt. I think that, you know, definitely he gave it his all. And I admire, you know, the strength and the what he put into it to get as far as he did. He really did give it his all. And, again, I'm going to leave him. I'm still on the fence with him. I'd like to meet him in person, and I think I would get a better assessment. And my gut feeling is that I actually think that he's not that arrogant person that he was out there.
Yeah, I think he's a little bit goofy. Like, I think he's a little bit of a, you know, 50-year-old ex-stoner, just kind of laid-back kind of guy. That's my impression of him. Who do you think is going to get fan favorite?
Ooh.
Who is
going to
get fan favorite? I'm going to sound biased if I say this, but I'm going with my girl Kimberly.
Okay. Who do you think's going to win?
Same one.
I'm sounding biased here. I think she's just playing such a seamless game right now that there's no one, she has too few people. If she makes, you know, the top too, against anyone who she's out there with right now, just on terms of, because it does play into how many people you've offended and, you know, how many feet you've stepped on, to say that ladylike. And I think she's the one who's least offended most of the people that are going to be on the jury. And that's why I think Kimberly is also my front runner for winning.
Yeah, she definitely, I mean, you're right. She's played a great game. She's getting the winners at it, too. And
she
you
is.
Know, that,
Totally.
She really is. Yeah, yeah. So, Paul, we got 4 minutes. You wanted to talk about the challenge, the reward challenge.
Yes, my mind was swimming as to all the effects that the questions and the choosing of who they take with them. And I was trying to think, how would I have played it? And I couldn't come up with an answer. That I don't know if either of you, I don't recollect if either of you had those kind of question challenges. They have done those in the past, I know.
They've got the question challenge that typically is for the they save them for the loved ones, like how well. Is it the one with the how well do you know your fellow players?
Yeah, exactly.
And usually, at least up until my season, those were saved for, you know, how well do you know your loved one?
Yeah.
Right.
This just.
But you're right. But you're right. If they wait until this point of the season, at this point, you know, at 30 days or so, you've gotten to know the people that you're out there with fairly well.
I know, but who do you think doesn't deserve to be here? I mean, they're forced to answer those kind of questions, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah, I mean, as I said earlier, it's a recipe for disaster, and I remember that I went through one of those on Token Jeans. And,
yes, you did,
you know,
yeah.
It was brutal. I mean, you know, everybody sees me. I was in really, really good shape when I went there, like in terms of when you look at me physically. But when I went out there, I've told everybody this, how not to train for Survivor. And I should know better because I'm a college coach. But I actually was like, you know, because like Rita said, it does tend to be a man's world out there. But I love the All Women's Alliance. I've been pushing for an all-girl final three like 4 weeks ago. So I'm really happy to see that. But, you know, like when you come in as a man, especially if you look like a man, especially if you're a college soccer coach, you need to come in and you need to perform because that's one of the quickest ways that you're going to get maligned. Anyway, so I, before I went on, totally different the second time. I kicked ass in Heroes and Villains because I trained completely a different way. But the first time I was like, hey, I'm going to do an hour on the elliptical machine every day and I'm going to work out really heavy weight because I want my body to look good when I go out there. The worst kind of training I could do. The second time I was like doing sprint training on the beach. I had a puzzle book, a crossword book with me, so as soon as I sprint down to the beach. Seriously, I would go like this. I would sprint down to the water. I'd swim out 100 yards, swim back, sprint back up to the sand, sit down, and start doing a crossword puzzle so I could get all of those, you know, kind of brain waves firing on all circuits. Anyway.
Oh, my God, you're hilarious.
But like the first time, everybody was like, oh, the soccer coach, you look big. You know, you should be like the Tyson or the Brendan or whatever, and I didn't. So it came to a question, who has underachieved the most or who has not lived up to their reputation the most? And everybody said me, and I actually wrote down my name just because I knew what they were going to answer. So, you know, they don't just pick 10 questions out of the blue and ask those 10 questions. They are researching the chemistry between everybody. They're making sure that they, give everybody the most amount of attention possible. Anyway, Rita, it has been an absolute pleasure hearing your voice tonight. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you. You are wonderful.
I know Jerry and Paul, I know you guys have something to say to the guests before she leaves.
Absolutely. Rita, we'd like to say thank you as well for joining us. And if you ever have anything that you would like to promote, we want to let you know that you are always welcome to come back on the Rad Reality Show to Dragon Slayer Radio and join us anytime. We would love to promote anything that you have. You're always welcome back here on our shows.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much, Terry and Paul and Coach. God bless all of you. Thank you so much for
having me.
I'm so honored.
Thank you, Rita, guys. So very much.
Rita, this is Paul, and we obviously do Thursday night, but we also do two other shows of Amazing Race and also sometimes a Big Brother related. I don't know
yes.
if you got to meet Michelle Costa out there at Reality Rally, but
I did. I adore her.
Any of our shows are open to you, and I sure hope we made your time enjoyable and we made you comfortable and felt loved here.
You did, and thank you so much. And let me congratulate Coach on your marriage. I'm so thrilled for you, so congratulations on that. And Coach knows I'm also floating on the in love cloud nine on my end. So
congratulations.
Thank you. Yes, thank you very much. So I wanted to give that congratulations out to Coach as well.
Well, it's been a great pleasure having you on the show tonight. Thank you so
much for joining us. Thank you for having me.
Thanks
blessings,
so much.
And I look forward to being on hopefully in the near future.
Absolutely. We'd love to have you again.
Thank you. Good night.
You have a great
night.
Thanks,
Rita.
Okay.
Well, I don't know if Coach ran over his limit of being on here. I mean, he has lots of things going on, or whether his phone suddenly cut off but he didn't get a chance to say goodbye to everybody, even to Rita. But another fun show, a great special guest that Coach brought on. I loved that. And
Lola, I did mention your question to Coach, and he said that we will talk about that. We'll open up next week discussing your question about Ponderosa. So we just sort of ran out of time with Coach tonight, so I don't want you to think that we ignored your question or we just overlooked it. I did see your question, and I did post it to Coach, but we just sort of ran out of time. So hopefully we'll be able to open next week's show up with how much talk does go on at Ponderosa and how much it does affect, you know, what happens there. So, and how much it does, you know, change the game. So we'll remember to talk to Coach about that next week and see what he says. And I'm not sure who the guest is next week, but we will find that out, and I will get it posted.
Yep.
And whoever the guest is, we will talk about that next week. So she was an awesome guest. It sounds like, you know, I looked at a little bit of her bio, and she did a lot of pageants. She's actually also
a coach.
Yeah, she coached pageants and what do you call it when you sit and
judge?
I guess judge pageants. Yes, that's the word
I was looking for. We had two coaches on.
Yes, we had two coaches on. That's not the first time. Coach had his coach on last week too.
I'm so glad I got to ask about Diana.
Because
I've been enjoying Celebrity Apprentice, and you know, both being from Venezuela, I did not expect her to say that she was friends with them. That was really cool.
That's incredible. When she started talking with more of her Venezuelan accent, I just love that. That's such a beautiful accent. I love that.
And, you know, I think when she's on Telemundo, you know, it naturally comes out, but she does almost have a little switch where you don't really hear the accent as much. But we also didn't get a chance to give a shout-out to another overseas long-distance listener to the show. We just find that we run out of time sometimes to touch base on all these things, but I want to give you that opportunity, Carrie.
To which one?
Give a shout, Dusty.
Oh, he did give a shout out to Dusty.
I missed it. Was I in the...
I don't know if you might have been in the... Yes, but he did talk about Dusty and doing his missionary work, and he did give a shout out to Dusty, and I was so pleased with that. Dusty is a longtime listener, and he's listened to Louis' show for quite some time. He's doing missionary work over in Serbia right now, but I believe in the next few days he's going to be transferred to Guatemala. And he has a group of people that he's doing missionary work with. And he is right now watching Coach's season 23
wow.
of Survivor. And he is also such a big fan that he has actually sent in applications to get on either Survivor or The Amazing Race. And he really wants to do this bad. He just adores both of these shows. And so when he comes back from his mission work, he would love to get on one of these shows. He's watching both of them over in these other countries right now, and they don't get them as quickly over there as we see them here. So he's watching 23 over there right now.
Well,
and
I just love what the internet gives us as far as worldwide type of thing.
I know.
Last year when I had a lot of time and was able to put up my YouTube videos from American Idol, I would occasionally check where these people were watching. And it was like every single freaking country. And I was getting, you know, comments by people from all over the world. And I thought, how cool is it that we can do that? And certainly we had, in the past, we've had people call in to the Rad Reality Show via Skype. We had someone from Vietnam. We had somebody from...
Leonardo that's in our chat room right now is from Brazil.
From Brazil, exactly. And maybe at some point... Leonardo, he's actually private messaging me, and for people that aren't familiar, we've got two Rad Reality Show. Paul from Minnesota, I'm the one, it's the co-host, and I type in purple, and Cherry is listed as the host, and her font is in red. So hopefully that, you know, can help you figure that out. So, but no, I just love the fact that, there are people all over the world that are able to listen, you know, and when we find them calling in or chatting with us on the internet, it really, it's cool for me. I don't know about you, Cherry.
We had Samuel.
Yep, he was the high school senior from Vietnam who's a
yes.
big fan of The Amazing Race.
That was so much fun when he used to call in, and it would be 12 hours difference.
Yep.
And he was so thrilled
to
talk to Louis.
Day.
Yes, it
yep.
was the next day over there.
we
it
have,
was so much
we
fun.
Have the...
He would just be so thrilled to talk with Louis. It was just
yep.
great to hear the joy in his voice. He was just, I don't know, just so excited.
And so impressed. I mean, this was a high school senior. I mean, you heard his accent, but his handle on the English language was amazing to me for such a young kid. And he actually at one point said he started learning English like when he was in kindergarten, like 5 years old. And I missed hearing from.
There you go, Paul. What is your favorite non-reality TV
all
show?
All right. I am watching several shows, scripted shows, as some of us call it, in the reality world. You know, I don't watch any scripted shows. I only watch reality. I do watch scripted shows. The one that is really my favorite is not on the air right now. I'm waiting for the next season to start, but is Breaking Bad. But, oh, man, I do enjoy Once Upon a Time. I like that as a little bit of a different kind of show, but it's, I think, very well written and enjoyed. I watched several sitcoms that I like. I'm drawing a blank right now as far as what's on right now, but I was just talking to my nephew the other night, and he's the one that sent me to Breaking Bad. And I said, when's it coming back, Chris? When's it coming back? He said, not till September. Oh, man. So that's why I thought of that one right now. Now I'm drawing a blank on other ones. I love The Big Bang Theory. I love that. That was on tonight. And Lola, yeah, there's some Breaking Bad fans in there. The other one that should be coming back again that I enjoy watching is Sons of Anarchy.
I don't know that I watch anything that's not reality.
I know. I know.
That's all I have time for. There's so many reality shows. I don't have time for any regular sitcoms.
It's tough. It is tough. I mean, I'm catching up on it. I recorded way last summer, you know when it aired, Jerry, and it's on my computer ready to watch and never got to watch it. But coming up Monday, I don't know who the guests are specifically, but Michelle Koss is going to have a couple of contestants from Expedition Impossible, and I still need to watch that.
Wow.
You know?
You need
and
to get
how
on
long
that
ago
quick.
Was that on?
That's been a long time, Paul.
I know.
We've got somebody on the switchboard I think I'm going to bring up and say hi to.
Are you having trouble?
Hello?
Sir Captain Dog.
Hey, hi,
how
Terry.
Are you?
Hi, Paul again. Good.
Hey, Dog.
Did you enjoy
Rita tonight? Wasn't that fun?
I did for a fact. I was expecting Debbie from Tocachins.
Yeah, that was a curveball.
Yeah. Anyway, Rita Vereros. Is that correct, Terry?
Yes.
Born in Venezuela, Rita Vereros moved to San Francisco when she was 8 years old. She attended the University of California, Berkeley, before transferring to the University of California, Los Angeles. She graduated magna cum laude with a bachelor's degree in Italian and French literature. Did you know that?
I did read her bio before she came on.
Yeah, okay, we must be reading off the same spot.
She's been in pageants. She's done
right.
quite a bit, and
uh-huh.
she's an amazing, beautiful woman.
Yes, she is. And she was 38 when she got onto her season of Fiji, the same age that Coach was when he went to Tocachins. So Coach wouldn't tell anybody how old she was, and I could, but I won't. Anyway,
so what things
I wanted to talk about. One was Rita, and I pretty much finished that.
Did you enjoy the? You didn't happen to be in the audience for that for the Latin Symphony that I played a clip of at the beginning, were you? Or were
well,
you
at
home?
I was in the audience, and I was taking tickets, and I was running Johnny around the thing, and I got to make a presentation to Coach and also the president of the symphony, then also on Sunday to one of the board directors. It was a, you know, I'm a friend of the symphony, and I do other things. And I was able to go to church Sunday and spoke with Jessica and Avon. His son,
and for
Jessica's
those
his
listening
wife.
That don't, for those listening that don't know, that is Coach's wife and new wife and son.
Yes, that's Jessica and Avon, and his folks were there, and that was a big surprise. I got to speak to them again, and I've known them for several years, and I've also known Jessica for a period of time, I went to the church service and actually participated a little bit in the church service that
cool.
Ben was pastoring. exceptional service. Then we all took off to, this was Sunday, of course, and then we took off to go to Susanville, which is roughly 40, 45 minutes away because we got to come down out of the mountains.
Yep.
Well, Susanville is kind of in the mountains, but Eagle Lake, where his church is even more in the mountains.
So last time you talked with us, you were saying it was still snowing. Has the weather gotten better?
Yeah, we got some really nice weather over the weekend, and now we've been having rain, and we've had as much rain now as we've had all winter. And I have water standing in my yard right now. I was out riding around on a mower the other day.
I just think about driving in the mountains with snow is never fun, so I'm glad to hear that you're not dealing with that anymore. What any opinions that came up as you listened to us talk about Survivor tonight?
Well, yeah, I thought the pig was excellent.
Oh, the pig! I wanted to talk about the pig.
I know, I had the pig down too.
Do either of you guys think that production brought that pig in, or do you think that was totally?
I think so.
I think so, too.
Just to create something going.
And
that's what I'm guessing.
I especially thought that when they were all coming back from the, from what were they coming back from, the reward challenge or the immunity? I think the immunity challenge, and they're all walking on the
immunity beach, challenge,
the cameraman,
yes.
And the cameraman is sitting there behind the pig.
Yeah. Well, you know, season two, the Outback down in Australia. We had a wild pig that Michael Scoopin took measure of. This was not a wild pig. This was somebody's
pet. You can tell the difference. This pig didn't look anything like the pig that Michael Scoopin.
No, I mean, this. And later on, we could see, I think in a clip of next week, you know, I think we saw the pig in the background still hanging around the camp.
I missed that.
That's because he doesn't know what else to do. He's never been out in the wild before.
Yeah. Now,
there's a question.
As to...
Dog, you're a good person to ask this. Somebody in the chat room said, wasn't there a season where they found and killed a pig? I'm forgetting.
Yeah, that was Borneo. I mean, the Outback, Australia, season two. That's
okay.
Michael Scoopin, the fellow who fell into the fire and burned himself and got airlifted out. He was the one that captured the pig, cut him up, and they ate, and he smeared him, his face with blood and all that. And that was the one that Colby gave up a sure win to, what's her name?
Lola is a vet, and she's saying that was a wild pig.
From this last week?
Yeah, that's what
a wild pig. Oh, well, I don't know. A wild pig wouldn't have hung around that, you know, and let him get around it and put a rope on it and keep it in the camp.
Well,
that's what I'm thinking.
Them chasing it was one of the funnier moments, you know.
But then Troy Zan kept saying, you know, that his rest of his teammates were so, you know, they were idiots for, you know, thinking, oh, you know, you were going to, you know, chase this pig down and kill it and da-da-da-da. But then he was the
and
one out there chasing it the most.
I think he kind of qualified that right when he started. He says, I might as well do it and have some fun.
Oh, okay. Yeah. She said this pig was not wild. Okay.
No,
I got you, Lola.
No, the pig was not
wild.
Okay,
thanks for clarifying. Thanks for clarifying, Lola.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lola.
Now,
I go to my professional for my advice here. Lola.
Yeah.
She's a vet.
why the girls on the bottom would not listen to Troy Zan, I don't know. And, you know, the flipping is almost too late right now because the fewer the numbers, it's harder to get a majority now. But if Tarzan would all of a sudden decide to step up, and I think he's probably been playing everybody just a little bit. That's my own personal opinion. But if he would step up right now and can pull some of those people in, and with Kim saying the next person out is going to be Sabrina, because Sabrina is her toughest competition in the women. And if Kim decides to go against Sabrina, and Tarzan and Christina can pull Kat and Alicia over, then we have a complete turnaround in who the power structure, which could change it. And the guys, in watching Ponderosa, the guys all getting together, and with exception of Jay and Michael, which are kind of aloof and standoffish. Everybody else is pretty much together, and I think if Tarzan would happen by any chance to get to the final three, I think the guys would go for Tarzan.
And somehow, I'm not sure the girls realize that. I don't think they are.
Well, they have to start seeing it now, Gary.
Pardon me?
They have to start seeing it now.
I know.
Because there's not that many places left.
All they're thinking about is that he hasn't done anything, and that they can take him to the end because nobody would vote for him. But what they're not seeing is all the jury is guys, or the tail end of it is going to be women that they've really ticked off. And
the guys that are gone because of the girls right now. And the guys that are not gone because of the girls right now were gone on account of Colton, who might as well have been a girl. And so there's going to be a lot of animosity against the female contingent. Depends on how big they are. In watching Troyzan, as he left the area last night and got into Ponderosa, then how he's reacted in Ponderosa, there's only been two people that I can recall having such a positive attitude in going to Ponderosa. One was Troyzan last night, and the other was Coach. Coach had a good positive attitude when he had to go to Heroes versus Villains, wasn't it?
Right.
He had a good positive attitude when he went to he was the first one in Ponderosa, and he got a completely different edit. Of course, he played the game a little bit different. When Coach was speaking tonight, he spoke about the first time, you know, he went, and he thought, you know, because he was a coach and all that, you know, he wasn't, and he'd done some training on some equipment. It wasn't what he needed. And he's found out that running and stuff like that, sprints, and he even talked to me the other day about that. He says that's the key to it. But every time I see him, which, let's face it, it's not as probably as frequently as I'd like to, but every time we see each other, we hug. The guy is in shape. He is solid. He's like a tree trunk. And I watched him both Friday night and Sunday during the symphony. You got to have some endurance to stand up there. And one of the selections was Bolero. And Bolero, you know, goes 18 minutes.
Wow.
That's the song that was in the movie 10, right?
Yeah, I think so. But it starts out real quietly.
Yeah.
And then it builds up. But I love Bolero, and every time I turn it on here, I think something's wrong with my sound equipment, and I go tune it up, and then all of a sudden it blasts me right out of the room. But that piece that he wrote, what was it? Called Latin number two,
Latin,
or whatever it was.
It was on the YouTube.
Symphony number two is
Latin symphony is what they listed.
Yeah. There's a fellow named Thomas Braun who played the acoustic guitar. That when your passage started, it started with an acoustic guitar.
I did some editing, Dog. I did some editing, and I said I got to, in my editing, include him playing. And that's the first question I asked who he was, because I was very impressed.
Yeah. And, his big thing there is called Concierto de Aranjuez for Guitar, written by a guy named Joaquin Rodrigo. But Thomas Braun played the acoustic guitar, and it was outstanding. Thomas Braun is a regular in his orchestra, and he does a lot of the sound, and sometimes he does filming. And I spoke with him after he'd performed. He went back to kind of change some of his clothes and freshen up a little bit. And I talked him out in the lobby for probably about 5 minutes. Neat guy. Of course, I've known him for several years by sight, and, you know, but this was really the first time, or about second time, I guess, we've ever talked. But I am truly blessed to be able to go to the symphony. Friday night is never nearly as professional or as good as Sunday. Sunday was just outstanding. I'm blessed to do that. Now, one thing the coach didn't tell you about, he conducted the symphony on Friday night. Then about 4 o'clock Saturday morning, he had to take off and go to San Francisco. His soccer team was in a tournament down there.
Wow.
And
How did they do?
They did 1-3 in 4 matches, but they were playing well up out of their collegiate division. So they were playing bigger schools, bigger teams in higher divisions. And coach was quite pleased with how they performed. And I talked with, four of their soccer players Sunday afternoon. They were in the audience. I was able to speak with 4 of them, and they're just really happy. They were at the concert, too. But they said we did quite well considering the competition they were against.
Well, that's good to hear. I know that's another one of Coach's many passions and great accomplishments in his coaching softball. So how do you see Survivor progressing from here on out, Doug?
For this season right now, for One World?
Yep.
Well, for all intents and purposes, it's Kim's to lose.
Yep.
In other words, she's going to win hands down unless some girls flip. If there's enough people that flip and Tarzan takes it, can go. You got Alicia, Kat, Christina, and Tarzan. If they could form an alliance, but I don't know if any of them are thinking that way. If they could form an alliance, they have the majority then. They can flush the idol out. Of course, apparently nobody knows, with the exception of Chelsea, that Kim has an idol. But without any flipping, and I think the flipping has to happen this week. I think they'll be past the point of no return if they don't. If there's no flipping and a new power alliance, which could create some blindsides, if nothing happens this coming Wednesday, then it's Kim's. And the only way she'll lose it is if she makes a fool of herself in questions and answers at the final tribal, which she's not going to do because she's been too cool, calm, and collected.
I'm going to have to interrupt here.
Sure.
I did extend the show. I need to find out and make sure that you all are still hearing us. So if somebody could in the chat room, just let me know that you all can still hear us.
Jerry,
okay.
Jerry, if they can't hear us, they didn't hear what you just said.
Well, we went over past, I was trying not to interrupt Dog, but we went past the 10-second mark where I should have said that.
You know, and if I'm ever here, just break in and get me off or something like that. You know, if you have to do something.
Try refreshing. Well, anyway, they can't hear us now.
I was able to speak at length with Tom Gauthier. He's the fellow who wrote the book, A Voyage Beyond Reason, and has been collaborating with Coach on some of his things. It's just really neat. And on your website here, where the Dragon Slayer Radio, where Brenda Porter has put up the various little things to reflect the different places where you can find out a little bit about Ben Wade, one of them takes you to the Benjamin Wade Facebook page or something like that, and you can click on and listen to an audio of A Voyage Beyond Reason. And I've read the book, and what I wanted to do, I went to the 57th chapter of it last night and to listen to the end of it, because I remember when I read that, that's how the book just mesmerized me when I got to the end of how Tom Gauthier, who reportedly had found the journals of Ben Wade buried down in Colombia off the ocean, then how he finally ran into the guy when he started coaching soccer at Lassen College. And it's fantastic. I remember that made such an impression on me when I read the book that I went to the audio version of it, which I could pick up off of Coach's website, and I advanced it to the 57th chapter, the last chapter, and it's just amazing. And
okay,
I would suggest
I'm going to interrupt you as well. Cherry, I don't know if you just noticed this, but in the upper left-hand corner, our switchboard is not a countdown. Oh, wait, it is. What does it mean, stream connecting? Have you seen it
I've never seen that. I don't know. I think, Doug, that we are, I don't know, never seen that before, but I think we are in podcast. So we are going to go ahead
and wrap it up.
And
yeah.
Wrap this up.
Yeah, that sounds good to me.
Thank you so much for calling in, Doug. I appreciate it so much.
Yeah.
You take care,
Cherry,
and have a great night, hon.
Yeah. It's a pleasure to chat with both of you. Take
All
care
right,
and God bless you.
Thank you so much. All right, God bless.
Good night now.
Good
Bye.
Night, hon. Bye-bye. And I will go ahead and close the show, as I always do, with Ron. And I apologize. We did extend the show, and we've had some problems with the switchboard, and I don't know. Usually the extend works. Tonight it didn't, so we're going to go ahead and wrap this one up.
Yeah, I'm not even sure with that indicator that it is on podcast. Hopefully it is. Before you close it out, as we normally do, give a little promo for our upcoming shows again at the end. And so if
yes,
podcast is working, I just want to say thank you all for coming. I really enjoyed the show tonight, and hope everybody joins us on the next show.
I agree. Thank you all for joining us. And we would like very much for you to join us on Sunday night with Louis Stravato for the Amazing Race Recap Show. And on Monday with Manic Monday with Michelle Costa. Louis Stravato's show Sunday will be at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central. Manic Monday with Michelle Costa is at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central. We hope to see you there at both shows. And as I said, I will close this show out with Ron, as I usually do. Again, I apologize. We usually can extend our shows, but tonight something is up with the switchboard, and it's telling us something we've never seen before, so something is amiss. So we will go ahead and close tonight out with Ron. Thank you all again for being here. We want to say God bless and be kind to each other. Here's Ron.
Tonight was a great show, and thank you guys for coming. And I'm going to quit off the show with a song and something that is truly, I say thank you to y'all. Like, song ain't working.
I love this.
Say thank you for coming to the show. You are so great, and I love you all.
Love you too.
We thank you.
Okay.
I'm glad you played it. It's been a while since you played that closing. Brought a smile to my face.
I love hearing Ron sing. Thank you all so much for being with us. You all take care. Have a great night. Be back here with us Sunday night for Louis Stravato recapping The Amazing Race, and Monday for Manic Monday with Michelle Costa. Love you all. Take care. Have a great night, and goodbye.
Good night, all.
Good night.